the end of another day at a secondary school in Tanzania. But for some, there's no hurry to get home, because where they live isn't a place they want to go back to.
Life in the ghettos is so hard because of the men who break into our houses. Normally, we try to be asleep at 10 p.m. so we can wake up early and study. But we're forced to stay awake from midnight. Otherwise, the drunk men always try and break in, and what they want is to rape us. And if we run away from them and they don't succeed, they take everything they can find. Money, books, even the mattress. They take everything. That's what life is like here in the ghettos.
Yusta is a Form 4 student. It's the year she'll sit her O-level exams, and her story is not uncommon across rural parts of Tanzania, where schoolgirls are often harassed and even raped. To avoid walking long distances to school, they live in rented huts known as ghettos. But life away from the protection of their parents means they've become easy prey to men. I'm Liz Pearson, and in this week's BBC African Perspective, I'm in Mbulu district, 100 miles from Arusha in Tanzania, to find out why this is happening and what's being done to prevent it.
Yeah, we're going this way to the ghettos, and the girls are on the lead.
Pendo Liza is a social worker from Arusha. She visits secondary schools to meet girls and hear their stories with the hope of helping them. She introduces me to two girls, Mary and Tabu, who wanted to show us their route home and how it made them feel unsafe.
She's explaining that she has to pass through the club where they sell alcohol.
Can you ask them how they feel walking past the bars where people are drinking?
They feel so bad, and sometimes they're afraid because the men who are so drunkard, most of the time they have to lock themselves inside.
Mary and Tabu are 17, and they live in the ghettos to be close to school. They invited me to their hut. Which is your house?
Here.
So these are just sort of low, single-storey houses made of local soil?
Yeah.
With wooden doors and wooden shutters on the windows. And then the girls have gone down here.
Yeah, you can come in.
Yeah.
One of the girls is studying.
So you're working in the dark in here? They've brought me into a tiny room, 6 feet by 8, with one bed, a desk, and an earth floor. There's no electricity, and the nearest water is from a stream across a field 500 yards away. Two girls live here, other rooms have more, and they all have to use their room to cook as well as study. To make it feel more like home, they've decorated the walls with newspaper cuttings and pictures. I ask them what life there is like.
We are on our own, not at home, so the local men know no one will protect us. No mother or father, no one to look out for us. So they keep pushing us into things we don't want. We are not safe, not at all, we are not safe.
In the courtyard outside the cramped ghettos, I ask Mary why, if she doesn't feel safe, she doesn't just go home to her mum and dad.
Home is a long way from here, more than 7 kilometres. When I was in Form 1, I did stay at home with my parents the whole year. But because I'm in Form 2 now, I have exams, I just can't do the distance from home to school and school to home every day. So that's why I'm living in the ghetto at the moment.
Travelling around Mbulu is hard work, whether on foot or by car. The rough gravel roads to each secondary school are well known to Pendo Liza's team of social workers from the Arusha-based consultancy CASEC. Simon Daffy is in charge of CASEC's education programme, which is funded by a British charity, African Initiatives. He told me how he thought the problem for the girls had come about. Debt relief.
In 2000, debts were cancelled, and then the countries, including Tanzania, were asked, if the debts were relieved, where are we going to use the money? And basically, the countries prioritized education. As a result of expansion of primary education, there was increased demand for secondary school. And because of that, there were no structures that were established in secondary school to respond to the increasing number of students who are completing primary education.
One secondary school was built for every ward of five villages, which means for some children, schools can be far away from home, a walk of up to 15 kilometres there and the same back. It was neither practical nor safe, so alternatives had to be found.
Government funding were not there to ensure that in secondary school, basic structure like dormitories, teachers in schools. So some community members build this, what we call the temporary huts, known as ghetto. The situation and condition in the ghetto were really terrible. Pregnancies, there are also issues of HIV/AIDS and issues of gender harassment.
What can you do to protect those girls and keep them safe?
If you have the dormitories and hostels, you have them around the hostel, they reduce the walking distance. And this is what CASEC is really doing, so that the girls are protected and safe from all the harassment.
Tumati School is one of the secondaries that CASEC work with. There, I meet teacher Killian John, who tells me just the kind of harassment his girls face.
Yeah, in ghetto, these girls, they can have interference between the common people, or let's say village people.
When you say interference, what do you mean?
They enforce them to do that sex. You can say sometimes forcings, you know.
Forcings?
Forcings.
Like rape?
Yeah, rape. Yeah.
So the ones that have been raped, have you helped them to go to the police?
Yes, we did.
How many cases?
It's three.
Three girls?
Yes, three cases. But those peoples of stations and the courts, primary courts, they do neglect of it.
They neglect this?
Yes.
How old were these girls?
Some of them, they are 14s, 15s, up to 18s.
So you really need to keep the children safe?
Yes, we need it.
I can't study, so I haven't been doing very well at school. My performance is getting worse and worse. It's because I lie awake at night, thinking maybe tonight they'll come and break in. I'm just too afraid to go to sleep. So then in the day, in classes, I can hardly keep awake, and I haven't done my homework. So I'm doing badly at school because I'm tired and because I can't study at home in the ghetto.
Yusta is 20 years old but still in Form 4 at Tumati School. Her place there was hard won, but she's had to miss a lot of school because of problems paying the fees. Her parents live some 50 miles away in Babati, which is outside of Mbulu district. As well as the constant fear of attack, she has little money. Her mother does her best, but she tells me her father is an alcoholic and doesn't work.
I feel like dropping out all the time. We're very poor, and my mother is the only provider. It's a constant struggle to get my school fees, as she has to take care of my brothers and sisters too. Sometimes I have to miss school for a whole month, as she doesn't have the money. Also, it's really tough here with the break-ins and girls being raped. Security in the ghetto is poor, and these drunks who attack us know they won't be caught because the nearest police station is 7 kilometers away. Even if we scream for help, people hardly come to our rescue. Once, some men broke into the ghetto that I'm living in. There were seven of them, and they split us up. Some came into our house, others went into the other rooms. They started rounding us up, making us go outside in the courtyard so they could do with us what they wanted. But we managed to run away. The police did get involved, but they never caught them. I know two of the girls who were raped as well, and the police were told about what happened to them. They never caught those men either. Those girls must be hiding their heads in shame, because everyone knows that they were raped. News about it spread far and wide, so everyone knows in their village, at school, in the ghettos. I don't know where they went to when they left school, but I do know they must be ashamed. There's a lot of stigma when it comes to rape, and no security for us at all.
At CASEC, Simon Daffy has his theories about why cases like the ones used to describe don't get to court, or, if they do, end up being thrown out.
There are cases of rapes which the evidence are very clear, but then the parents and the leaders also, sometimes they're involved, not really to take the right action to stand firm on really the whole issue of standing in the court so that those responsible were held accountable for their action. This is not happening currently because of the kind of secrecy. Sometimes there are also corruption. Police are corrupted, and also the villagers sometimes they are corrupted. So there are no cooperation really in terms of seeing that the right action is taken.
Not everyone blames the police for the lack of rape convictions. Israel Darabi is an education official in Tumati Ward, and he believes that the communities living around the ghettos could do much more.
The problem that what we across is an evidence, because, you know, this issue occurs while they are staying in their quarters. So when the issue occurs, the government will go and take it seriously. But the societies, they are poorly cooperative in these matters. The societies surrounding this area, they have same tribes, same cultures. You know, sometimes those who are engaging in those evil things are relatives. So they mostly like to solve this dispute out of courts.
You've been to the police. Were there any arrests when you reported these rapes?
Yeah, they always, the two cases were arrested by the police. But what we across that in front of the courts, we're going to lead to the poor in evidence that can make them to be jails. And finally, we across, they have been left free because the court can't be fulfilled evidence.
I'm Liz Pearson, and in today's BBC African Perspective, I'm in Tanzania. Kanem School in Mbulu District. Joseph Birifile is the head teacher.
Those ghettos which they are living, it has got a very simple door. You can just push, a man can just enter without any problems. He can do anything, he can harm our girls.
Joseph believes rape is far more prevalent than suggested by the numbers being reported to the police or to schools.
It is very dangerous, very, very dangerous to our girls, especially during the night. But fortunately, up to now, then that case was not reported to school.
No one has come to you and said, I have been attacked.
No one.
But do you believe that there are cases where girls perhaps have been attacked?
Yeah, I do believe it. I believe it because of this dropout of our girls. Now, those things, I believe that they do exist. For me, it is helpless. I can't help them. But if we can complete our hostel there, we can rescue the situation of our girls and raise the standard of their education.
So you see, they have to dig down and to get the surface.
This building site is part of the plans to help girls in their education by getting them out of the ghettos and into safe accommodation. Slowly, hostels are being built in the security of school grounds.
So on the other side, they will build a matron house on the other end of the dormitory. But this, they are saying that these are the rooms for girls. This is a double deck here, so they will have four
And toilets and showers? Or how? Where
would hostels cost money. And here it's come from CASEC and their British charity partner, African Initiatives.
So it's completely self-contained. They'll be able to cook.
Now the Tanzanian government is also getting involved in hostel building. And local communities have a key role.
The best brick for building. The one who is not needed is simple to block. It's not good.
So do the villagers make all of these bricks themselves?
The villagers make
all the bricks themselves. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Once the structures are up, African Initiatives funds the roof. That way, it becomes a joint endeavour between charity and the local villagers. The hostels I visited were in various states of completion, but schoolgirls and teachers alike were pinning their hopes on them.
My name is Vincent Gelangi, the headmaster of Idom Secondary School.
So we're just walking down to look at the hostel which is being built. How many girls at the moment live in ghettos?
Yeah, about 100 girls are living in ghettos. So to have a hostel is very important because they will be safe and the hostel will have a guard.
Vincent was very pleased to have the hostel, but I wondered, would it really solve the problems?
Well, the ghetto, you say, accommodates 100 girls. The hostel will accommodate fewer, around about 60. So when the hostel is built, there will still be girls living in the ghettos.
Yeah, we hope that if the hostel will be completed, it means that they will remain around 36, around the ghettos. We'll give the priority for those girls who are living in a dangerous areas. The community is not very attention to make follow-up about this issue.
So you need help from the community?
Yeah, we need the community to help us, that to make sure that those who are harassing girls and the... But once you try to make a follow-up, you as a teacher, you will find that to be the enemy to the community.
Teachers aren't the only ones aware of the issues facing schoolgirls. I went to the maternity ward at Hydam's Lutheran Hospital to talk to staff there, and I found another perspective on why girls in the ghettos might be involved in sexual relationships with local men.
My name is Monica Handotipe. I'm a nurse midwife, assistant in charge in maternity ward.
So do you have experience of seeing girls who are students who live in ghettos near here?
Kwa kweli kujua hesabu ni vigumu, lakini mara nyingi wanakuja kutoka sehemu mbalimbali. Kwa mfano kutoka Haidom.
We get a lot of girls from all over Mbulu district coming here, and they come for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes they've had an abortion in the villages where it's not carried out properly, and they end up getting seriously ill. And that's when they come here. It's up to us to clean them up.
Are these schoolgirls?
Yes.
Do they talk to you about how this has happened?
It's very hard to know what's happened, if she's been raped or not, because there's a lot of secrecy from the parents and from the girl.
So how big is the problem?
It's hard to know. At the moment, we have a girl here who is in Form 4 at secondary school. She's had a premature baby, and last week she had her exams. So we let her go into school and do them, on the condition she come back to the ward straight afterwards. We've had that kind of case before, and I would say they are definitely increasing, but that's partly because the catchment area for the hospital is bigger now.
How easy do you think it would be for girls to come to the hospital and report that they've been attacked and tell you that they have been attacked?
If rape is reported, it's because parents take responsibility. If a girl doesn't have responsible parents, it would be very hard. Ultimately, you have to hold parents and family members responsible. If parents are irresponsible themselves, drunk or not taking care of their child, then it follows that girls will be in danger. And one of the most important things is that parents must make sure their daughters have enough money to look after themselves. If they don't, then it's easy for men to take advantage of them, because girls away from home need money, and men are a means of getting it.
This is where the girls, they come
to talk about their problems.
So this is your home, and they come here to your home?
Yes, this is my home, and always they come and knock my gate here, and that they come in. And always they come here to talk about the different problem they have from the school, they have from the men and boys. So they have a lot to talk when they come here.
Rose Kawala is chair of Hydam Secondary School, and she's set up a counselling service for local girl students. She's taken girls to the local hospital several times. From her conversations with girls, she too believes it's families who are responsible for their problems. Rose told me that if girls are vulnerable and desperate, it's because they have no money.
Many times girls, they don't have money from their families. Men, they show money, give them some money. And sometimes they just, girls, they will stop to go to school and maybe go to live with the men or get the pregnancy.
So the girls, basically, they're sort of in a fairly desperate situation. They're sent here by their parents, but they don't have enough money just to live day to day.
Yes, it's sure. And many parents, when girls, she go out of the house, it's finished. She's not belong to me anymore.
So that's why they kind of attach themselves to these men.
Yes.
It's something girls find very hard to talk about, not least because, as Rose discovered, it's not just local men from the villages who are preying on them.
The girls, they've gotten a lot of problem with men teachers. He go to girl and he approach her to go out or to do sex or anything. The girl, she will be beaten very badly if she say no. So I do the counselling with the teachers as well.
So you say that there was a case where a girl was beaten by a teacher?
Yes. And the girl, it's not only one girl, maybe more than three, five. One teacher in particular, he's beating that girl until in the back and in the head. And the girl, she collapsed. And other girls, they come to me and they say, we know why that teacher is teaching this girl like that.
Because she said no to his advances?
Yes.
It's a common problem, even by the admission of the education officers in Mbulu district.
My name is Michael Hadu, education officer for secondary schools. This issue is common to our secondary schools in general. Some of those, especially young teachers, before marriage, they try to have a relationship with the girls. So even though they are not, they know the police, the laws, they will be punished very harshly.
They'd be sacked?
Yes.
Mbulu district took a teacher to court last year, but courts are only part of the solution. These problems also go back to Tanzania's push on education and the lack of resources.
Now the government extended the second education, so facing some problems concerned with the infrastructure. Still we have problem teachers to teach all subjects in our secondary schools. There's some subjects are not taught, or we use those young boys and girls who have no profession of teachers because of shortage of teachers.
So they haven't had training about relationships between student and teacher?
Yeah, because of lacking that profession. Formerly we are dealing with building classrooms. Now our objective is to focus to build many hostels through contribution of community, plus government and other donors like KASEC.
Simon Daffy from KASEC believes another part of the solution must be a change of attitude within communities.
What can be done, basically, one is really community awareness. If they really understand what is required to done to protect the girls, and this is what KASEC is really doing to ensure that we have the right awareness, community members, the districts understand, so that they take the right measures to ensure that the girls are safe from all the harassment.
Mina vijana sita binti moja.
Six boys and one girl.
Six boys and one girl.
I meet a group of women in Hydam. They've set up a sort of community watch group to keep an eye on girls in the ghettos, some of whom are their daughters. They are a formidable group, keen to share their views.
No one can stop men abusing girls in the ghettos. If the girls are on their own, then men will take advantage. The only way to help girls is to build hostels for them. That's the only answer, because girls will never be left in peace if they live in the ghetto.
These women, they look quite tough. Can they not stop the men?
No, let me tell you. I'm a parent and I'm at least 10 kilometers away from here. I have no way of knowing what the children get up to. But if we build hostels, the students will have no reason to leave the school compound, as they'll have everything they need. So the girls won't be seduced by men. They just won't have the freedom of the ghettos. That's the only solution.
Helping the girls is a hard task for Simon Daffy and his team from CASEC. There's a lack of government money, lack of infrastructure, and a whole host of complex reasons that put schoolgirls at risk of rape and exploitation. Sometimes Simon finds the situation overwhelming.
Really, I feel it's terrible, it's difficult. Why? Because though the communities have responded, but I see the willingness, leadership willingness is really limited, because some of this hostel have been started a year ago. So the things are going very slowly. So I feel like that, again, the whole issue of importance of girls' education is still that we have to do more.
But students like Mary think the solution should be much more immediate.
We don't like being in the ghetto. We just want help to get into a hostel or anywhere. As long as it's safer than here, that's the only way we'll get an education.
Thanks for listening to BBC African Perspective with me, Liz Pearson.
This programme was first broadcast in March.